Yeah, I guess it's only solid a decade other than the 90s. Or a century other than the 20th. So, and then we can blame it on this audio is of terrible quality. Or if everyone, if there's no people left on Earth and some aliens stumble across this recording, this will be our legacy. They can piece together what humanity was like by everything we're about to say, which will be
yeah, it'll be
not a very good record of humanity at all. So.
Or it could be. It could be the new standard of humanity.
It could be. They can set up shrines to everything we're about to talk about. So, but yeah, we're all locked down in our houses, and we're trying to do this podcast by simultaneously technological and primitive means. Hopefully it's working. But
I don't know. Can you hear me very well?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay.
In fact, I can see you are showing up now in this odd recording. I wish I had my phone to actually take a picture of this, but.
Well, you could recreate it later, maybe, and.
Yeah.
Just fake it. Yeah, everybody. So, no, I'm not sick.
Well, that's good.
I want to say that. Get that out of the way. And you're all well and good, I guess.
Yes, we are all alive.
Alive is good.
Yes.
Hopefully all our listeners are also alive. And doing well, so.
Yes.
But yeah, we are going crazy and had to attempt some kind of recording session, so that's what we're doing.
Yes, and we tried. Yeah, so you tried having you call me, but you didn't show up in my FaceTime, so it didn't work the way that Tony's thing worked. So then I tried to call you through FaceTime, mm-hmm. and we got closer. I could hear you over my headphones because you were going through the interface, but yet I couldn't get you to record through it.
Yeah.
So right now our third option was, hey, and then that's going to show up. Oh, that's nice. I got a notification from the New York Times.
That's right.
But yeah, I'm basically miking my phone and Scott's on speaker. So that's why he sounds like he's on a phone.
That's why I sound like I'm on a speakerphone. It's very tall toed, though, when you think about it. Even further back, because like we used to run our vocals just through an amp, just through a guitar amp.
Oh, you know? Man, I didn't even think about that. That
right? So it's very in character for us to do something this way. And this is not a regular episode, and we're not sure how long this is going to go. It might get chopped up, but we're calling this one of the side tracks.
Yes.
Which, if you've been listening, you know that the side tracks were made to be shorter shows because we were getting a little lengthy.
Yes.
With our tangents, and so we thought, well, we'll pick a topic, and then we'll just do a separate episode of a topic that might have derailed us for half an hour or more in a regular episode. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's awkward doing it over the phone, but okay, we're doing the best we can. So I when we were talking about what to do, I decided to throw out the topic that I've been threatening to talk about on several other shows, and you said you were okay with that. So
yes,
should I announce what it is?
Yeah, because we had a song we were gonna play because it was a song that they played at the beginning,
right?
Usually. Yeah. But Scott couldn't hear it, so I was like, oh, it's pointless, Steven. It'll be on the podcast.
Yeah, so we're talking about it like, well, I don't know. I don't know what happened. But when you listen to it, you're going to hear it. And then what should have happened is right after that, we would have come in and said, hey, you're listening to KISW FM 100 Metal Shop.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
But instead, you get to hear us bumble around.
Yeah. Yeah, the song is, they would, it wasn't the theme song, but they would play it a lot, and it was I Got Mine by the mighty Motorhead.
Motorhead, which is an odd choice. I guess at the time, I guess that was a new record.
Yeah.
I think was this like 82 or something? And it's not... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm talking about the song. Let me. So, if you listen to any of our other episodes, you know that we've mentioned the radio station KISW a few times, which is still around now at 99.9 on the dial, which I think is bullshit, because
yeah,
when we listened to it, it was
100.
Even 100. Yeah. FM 100, KISW, and it was Seattle's best rock was their
rock.
Motto, tagline, whatever. So when we were youngsters and getting into hard rock and heavy metal, KISW had a show. Do you remember if it was Friday night? Or a different night?
I want to say it was something weird, like a Sunday night, or
maybe it was. Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think it was a regular. Maybe because they knew the all metalheads were out partying on Fridays. So
yeah,
but they had a show called Metal Shop, and I know there's another. I don't know if it's still around, but there was a like a syndicated radio show called Metal Shop later. It's not that show. That show came after. I believe that KISW had it first.
Yeah.
So it's the early 80s through the 80s. Actually, so I actually did a little research, which I never do for these shows. Should we say that? Should we say we never research any? The secret is out.
Yes.
But I wanted to look up a little bit about it, which I couldn't really find anything about the 80s metal shop, but KISW still has a metal shop, I guess, because I found a bunch of stuff about that.
Yeah.
But this was the early 80s and through the 80s, at least through high school, I think, that we listened to it. And so like Mike said, that they'd open with that Motorhead song. So you'd go in there 8 o'clock or whenever it came on, turn on the radio, and that would come on. You'd be like, yeah, get all pumped up.
Yeah. And then it was originally hosted by Steve Slayton, right? No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Who I also looked up because I definitely wanted to give him credit, which I found out some stuff about Steve Slayton just real quick. He was born in Tacoma, mm-hmm, and started on a Tacoma station, which to me makes him even cooler.
Yeah,
I like Tacoma. I think like being born in Tacoma is cool. So he started in 1971, and he moved to KSW Let's see. In '73. So he was on the radio and as early as 1973. Oh, here's the thing I wanted to say. This is what I want to say about him, because I remember him, and he gets a lot of credit for breaking a lot of like heavy rock bands up here.
Yeah.
And playing them on the radio that other radio stations might not necessarily play. So I was reading about that, and I know that he loved AC/DC and played a lot of AC/DC. And the tagline is in here. This is all on Wikipedia. But I remember he would always get ready to, when he was getting ready to play an AC/DC song, he'd say, "I can't give you their name,
but
their initials are AC/DC, you know."
Yeah.
And then and then you'd hear AC/DC. But here's something I didn't know. And then I'll throw it over to you. But this is from Wikipedia too. So Slayton became an early fan of the band AC/DC and began devoting an hour or more of airtime to the band each night, including one instance where he played AC/DC's Bad Boy Boogie for 1 hour straight. Which is awesome. He just played the one song for an hour. That's amazing.
Steve.
But so anyway, I was gonna say listening to Metal Shop came before you and I were really friends and hanging out. Like, I knew who you were at that point, but we hadn't started Trepan or anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering how you knew about it and like what some of your early memories, because I have a bunch of notes here and I don't want to dominate this, but I was just wondering what your intro to it and all that was like.
How did I find out? I must have heard like a commercial or something on the station, because you know, it's like I'd been listening to that station since like 1980.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you know, and then of course it was like, what? A whole show devoted to metal?
Right.
And, you know, suddenly it was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's how I started to get into a lot of the, like, the newer metal bands. You know, this whole new scene that was cropping up, especially around, you know, 82, 83.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm...
Yeah,
I'm looking at you, Metallica.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're on my list for sure.
Because they were, because the first song I heard from them was Phantom Lord.
Yeah, me too.
I remember
that's where I heard it.
In fact, I remember there were two versions that they played, which is, you know, the actual album version, and then there was some super badass live version, and it wasn't from there's like some. There were like two live versions of that song. I think one was from a record, but another one, I don't remember what the fuck it was from, but it's like, I remember when the guitar kicks in, you know, after doing that dun, 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 dun. It's like, it was super beefy sounding. And I was just like, oh, whoa. Wow. But I don't remember what it was from. But yeah, it's like...
That's interesting. I don't remember that. It's not from that EP, because I have that EP, the Whiplash EP, right?
Yeah.
There's a live version of Phantom Lord and Seek and Destroy on that. But it wasn't that version?
I don't think so, because I swear I heard that version and I thought, oh, yeah, it sounds different. It's like that guitar, when it comes in, it's like quieter. You know, not as heavy as the other one. And
I want to hear that.
So yeah, you know, it could have been from one of those numerous underground metal comps that were coming out around that time.
Yeah, and that was something that was cool about Metal Shop, was he did play weird stuff that, like, he was already playing bands that weren't getting played on the radio, but then sometimes he would throw in stuff like that, or like a live version of something that you'd never heard before.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing. I religiously listened to it, and I'm going to assume you did the same thing, but I'd always get my little tape recorder ready with a cassette in it.
Hell yeah.
In case I had to record something, and I did. Sometimes I just record the whole show.
Well, yeah, because it was a good show.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's the first time I heard Metallica, and that was a game changer for sure.
Yeah. And it wasn't even just like, you know, the new thrash or, you know, the new metal. It's like, I remember I remember hearing Humble Pie on there.
Yeah.
And I want to say like UFO and, you know, like some of the more 70s hard rock bands.
Yeah, exactly. I actually have that on my list because I made a list of some bands and things that I remember hearing on there. And that was one of the things. I don't know if it was every show, but he definitely would say, hey, now we're going to go back to some of the influence of these bands, you know, and play, like you said, like Humble Pie or something. And I definitely learned a lot about some heavier 70s bands just through that show.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of some other ones. I know he played like stuff off Kiss Alive, or I think he played Black Diamond one time as well.
I could see that.
Yeah. And there was still some 70s Kiss stuff that I wasn't familiar with. Like, I hadn't heard every single Kiss record all the way through.
I had neither. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I was even unfamiliar with like Dressed to Kill. I only know like, you know, two or three songs off of it, and then, you know, I ended up buying it eventually, and I was just like, ooh, what was this song Getaway? This is really awesome.
Yeah. 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 So it was great for finding out stuff like that. And I wrote, so here's just a few things that I wrote down. You know, I'm going to talk about this, so I might as well just do it now. Because the record is sitting right here. But this is just a sample of some of the weird stuff that Slayton would play. This band, Baron Rojo, who obviously made enough of an impact on me that I never forgot them, and that I actually found this record at Golden Oldies sometime in the late 90s or early 2000s or something and bought it. So this band Baron Rojo, the record I have here is Volumen Brutal. And it's all in Spanish, like all the lyrics are in Spanish, so I don't know what they're saying. This record is from 1981, which I didn't realize it was that early 80s. I thought it was more like 83 or 4.
Wow, man.
Yeah, so I remember that he played them more than once. He always called them the Spanish Motorhead. Which was enough, you know, to get me excited. So
do you agree with him on that? On that front?
Yeah, they don't really sound anything like Motorhead. I'm looking at this picture on the back, and it's pretty spectacular. I recommend everyone going online after this show and looking up Baron Rojo.
I remember hearing them on that show, too.
Do you remember... probably not. See, I don't remember. I was trying to figure out which song it was, because I was pretty sure it was off this album. And I played it a bunch of times, and a couple of the songs sounded familiar, but I don't really know for sure. I think the closest one to me is a song called Flowers of Evil, which is the last song on side one. I think that might be the one he played. If he might have played more than one, but there was one specifically that stood out.
So also, I wonder if that's a do they have a writing credit for that?
Oh,
because I know Mountain had a song called Flowers of Evil.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Let's see. Flowers of Evil is it looks like an original.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thought maybe. That would've
been cool, though. Yeah. That would have been pretty awesome. They're all originals. Every single song on here. anyway, it's actually a pretty good album. I would recommend it. It's just good, like hard rock or heavy rock. I don't know if it's metal. Maybe in that regard, they're a little more like Motorhead. Like it's heavy,
mm-hmm.
but it's not really metal. It's just more like rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
but yeah, so that was a memorable one. And I mean, he just played stuff that like changed my life entirely. Another one I remember, see if you remember this one. Do you remember the Raven version of Born to Be Wild?
Oh, yes, I do.
Udo Dirkschneider.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. Because I remember that one. Well, it sticks out because I thought it kicked ass. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was just insane. The vocals on that from both of those guys are nuts. But I remember when Slayton played it. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Right before he played it, he said, after he played it, I think it was the next week, the following week's show. Because that was back when you actually wrote letters, like physical letters, and and you could mail them to radio stations and stuff.
Using these things called stamps. And
yeah, and the post office. So I guess tons of people wrote in. Oh, I just had another memory. tons of people wrote in, and so the next week he was like, I got a bunch of letters, and they're all either one way or the other. One says, you know, what is this horrible crap you played? Don't ever play it again. Or, Slayton, you are a metal god. Yeah. And I know which camp I was in, because I became a Raven fan for sure. And Accept. I liked Accept. That actually might have been the first place I heard Accept.
I was just going to say, it was definitely the first place that I heard them.
Yeah, because that's not something that would get just regularly played on the radio.
Yes, Balls to the Wall.
Yeah. God, that was so heavy. Everything was so heavy then. Like, all this new stuff to me. Because what were we listening to at that point? Like, Iron Maiden, Ozzy, like Scorpions or something.
Yeah, maybe, probably Motley Crue.
Motley, early, yeah. Just stuff like that. I know I'm forgetting. There's somebody big I think I'm probably forgetting. But, I mean, those were the main ones. AC/DC, Ozzy for me, mostly. Yeah. And then Iron Maiden, who I was obsessed over for a while.
Oh, yes.
Join us next time for the second part of the exciting... Sidetracks, Metal Shop.